Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both candidates for vice president are relative newcomers to the national political spotlight. They'll be on stage tonight for their only scheduled debate. And joining us for a preview is Todd Graham. Todd is professor of debate in the School of Communication Studies at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. Todd, it's interesting how much attention this VP debate is getting, it seems like, compared to past election cycles.
I mean, they're both new people, sort of. When you had 4 years ago, at least we'd seen a little bit of Kamala Harris if you paid attention to the Democratic primaries. J.D. Vance is pretty new on the political scene. And if you don't follow politics, obviously, even if you do, Tim Walz isn't very well known. So my opinion as to why I think this is a big deal is just because most people have never seen either one of these two candidates. And so I think they're really excited to see what they're like.
Yeah, it's a really good point. What is their biggest job on stage tonight? Who are they trying to win over?
Well, you know, the vice presidential debates don't usually make a big difference. I think they've each got a little stereotype that comes with them and they have to overcome. So Walz is a good public speaker. I think he's very natural, comfortable, easy for us Midwesterners to listen to. But that doesn't always translate into good debates. So sometimes it makes you look, frankly, if you're overly nice, it makes you look a little weak sometimes in the debate. We famously debated one kid who was a great debater, a really nice guy, but we just called him Jim the Goof. Because in a debate, he would just look at us and go, oh, you got me. And he was really good debater, and he was a really nice guy, but a little bit too nice in the debates. He probably shouldn't be saying stuff like, oh, you got me in the middle of a debate. You know, let everybody else figure that out. So that's Walz's problem. I don't know if he's good at debate, and I don't know if his personality will shine in a debate. I would certainly hope that they would coach him to try to be the same. Don't try to be too professional or academic. For Vance, the stereotype he's got is that he's a little odd. So he has to show personality in the debate. He has to come through. It'll be the first time most people see him. And, you know, first impressions are important. So just he has to avoid those kind of odd circumstances that he gets in sometimes and just must avoid looking weird or scary. He's going to be the vice president of the United States, maybe take over the country. So we need to be able to trust him.
We're speaking with Todd Graham, professor of debate at SIUC. Looking at the moderators, I've already seen a lot of articles that are already fact-checking these two candidates. How much should the moderators fact-check tonight?
Way more than they're going to. I'll tell you that right now. The one thing that I've tried to make clear over the course of the last 20 years I've been analyzing presidential debates is that to clean them up, we need moderator training. What we don't have is moderator training. We have it everywhere else in debate, all the way from high schools to colleges to public debates, et cetera. I've trained moderators in all kinds of forms of debates, but in presidential debates, they're all different. Sometimes they fact check, sometimes they don't, et cetera. So I think it's a better debate if you fact check. I also think it's more consistent if you do it every single time. But I do want to give you the history. When 2016, when Trump came on the scene, we didn't really have fact-checking was a big deal back then because the debaters, people like Mitt Romney, people like John McCain, they tried to be mostly honest. But after Trump, we decided we needed fact-checking. So to ask the debaters to fact-check when you've said publicly, as CBS has, that they won't be fact-checking most likely is basically asking the debaters to lie a little bit more because who cares? And that always disadvantages the debater who's going to be honest because it takes a lot longer to clean up a mess of lies that you're being accused with than it does to actually get your point. I mean, it's easy to make up a lie. It's hard to answer that lie. So I'm for the debaters fact-checking. I think they should do it more, and I think they should top-load it in their questions, because then it doesn't seem like they're coming after the candidates. What they need to do is say in their question, here's a quote of you from a month ago saying this. Here's a quote of you from a week ago saying this. It seems like your position might have changed. Is that true? Then you can already have it out there. I think that's the best way to do it.
What about the moderators themselves? Do you like the choices? Nora O'Donnell, Margaret Brennan?
If I was them, I'd throw out the red flag. I'm telling you right now, I've seen them in interviews before, et cetera. I think they're fine people, but they are set up to fail if these debaters decide they don't want to tell the truth, then all Norm O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan will be doing is simply asking questions and then sitting there. I call it, when my debaters don't help each other, I call it sitting on their hands. I'm like, what were you doing while that was happening? They're like, well, nothing. I'm like, you were sitting on your hands. Do something. And so I feel like Norm O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan are being set up by CBS. CBS keeps telling them they just want this to facilitate conversation and enforce the debate's rules. Well, guess what? An unwritten rule of debate is you're supposed to tell the truth. We can't have a contest where two people are just excessively lying. That doesn't help us to search for the truth. That doesn't help us get policy answers. So I feel bad for Norm O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan. If I were them, I would ignore my marching orders, and I would do some fact-checking heavy up top in all the questions. And if stuff comes up in the debate that you've got to talk about, then you have to check it. That's just what you have to do. It's part of your job.
You mentioned the rules. How could the rules for tonight's vice presidential debate impact that flow of discussion?
Well, there's not going to be any, you know, mute button. Again, let's go back in history. Before Trump 4 years ago in the final debate against Biden, there was never a mute button in any presidential debates. So we always had the microphones open. If they choose not to interrupt a lot, if they choose not to, you know, do excessive, then I think we'll be fine on that. But again, both of these people are new at the debates. I don't know what their strategies will be. I don't know if they're going to be excessively rude. I don't know if they can stand to be criticized like Trump, which is why he would interrupt other people. In the Republican primary debates, he would interrupt, et cetera. I think the biggest deal, do you know what we could improve this on? If they don't want fact-checking, okay, fine, whatever. Just put the question on the television screen the whole time. Don't give me a QR code to go fact-checking. I don't want any fries with that. I want on my television screen simply the question at all times that they're supposed to be answering. Because if they're not going to fact check, at least give us the question so we know if they're answering the question. Put that up at all time until you move to the next question. Put that question up at all time. That's all I ask. I promise you that would help the audience in the debate.
Finally, does a vice presidential debate affect the outcome of the presidential election, in your opinion?
Hasn't before, but that's maybe because they're picking poor vice presidential candidates. You know, I everybody says no, and that is that really is the going science, is that no, it doesn't make a big difference. But anymore, you can win a presidential debate by 20 million votes in this country and still lose the Electoral College because you lost 20,000 votes in a couple different states. So we're talking about just 20, 60,000 votes can make a difference. Maybe one of these vice presidential debates is the one people have been looking for. They're like, yeah, I actually do like this guy. That might be a thing. So far, it hasn't. It hasn't proven to be true in the past, but it could be here. You never know.
SIU's Todd Graham, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.